supposed to look.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Happy holidays.
That's not a thing anymore.
Happy holidays.
Happy it Honda is days.
Honda days?
Happy Honda days. Happy Toyota time.
How was your Christmas, JD?
I'll tell you how my Christmas was, Jazz. We got some drinks, two drinks. We drunk them, got drunk.
That's a great Christmas.
Pretty much encapsulates my entire yeah, of course.
Awesome.
Yeah,
y'all eat good.
Yeah.
Oh, we love to eat.
I helped prepare food this year.
I
did.
You did?
Yeah, I cut up all the potatoes and the carrots for this pot roast.
Oh, look at you, a pot roast.
I got some left at the crib too. I'm actually gonna pick up some rice on the way. I meant to pick up some rice on the way here.
Look what this podcast reminded you.
No, the podcast did not remind me.
If you wasn't here.
The podcast made me forget. I got
oops.
I got wine. I went to the grocery store, walked past the rice.
Oh, man.
I have the last episode, most recent episode of This Is Us prepared, and some pot roast before bed.
Oh, my gosh.
That was going to be my shit. And the whole thing fell flat. Because we're going to leave here. Ain't not going to be open. I ain't going to be fine. No, right.
Walmart's always open. Harris Teeter.
That's a trip.
Harris Teeter isn't far from you.
I can go to Teeter.
I have rice. You got to cook it, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm talking.
You know how to cook rice?
I'm going to put this shit in the microwave.
Oh,
how to boil rice. I know how to make rice.
Everybody don't know how to make rice. For real. Like, straight out the bag into the pot. Boil it for 20 minutes. Everybody don't do it.
My grandfather is like an addict. His drug of choice is rice. I don't know what it is.
My grandfather loved rice too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It seemed as if growing up at 2 a.m, you might hear somebody downstairs. It's my grandfather
making rice.
This man was just like, rice is his shit. He brings rice to every function, and no matter what's going on, what the holiday is.
Rice is good.
You got rice on
deck. I love rice. Okay,
I need to stay with some rice.
I'm good on that. We can have rice all day.
Rice is solid, bro. It's one of the best carbs. It's a complex carbohydrate.
I too helped prepare.
Is everything all right today?
I too helped prepare Christmas dinner. I actually made macaroni and cheese, and it was a hit.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm proud of myself. Okay,
I knew you could do it, and my family can eat. but we don't all cook. Yeah, everybody kind of had to learn there, find their own path in that arena, and I found Chipotle.
Okay, got any New Year's plans?
Like,
hey, this is our last episode of the year, of the decade.
Resolutions or plans?
Both.
Oh. We'll see what kind of plans the Lord has for me.
That's honestly what I'm waiting for. Whatever the Lord got for me, because 2019 beat my ass. So 2020 just needs to bring all the blessings that I am prepared to receive in general.
I would like to note that 2019... it was kind of trash because a lot of you, actually. Not you listeners, but, I mean, your peers. They suck. Like, not all of them. I don't want to disparage my fan base. But, did you notice the Christmas trend with all of the toxic text that you get during the holidays?
Yes.
Listen. Y'all are making it so hard for people that have hope for anything good. Because everything, like, every big little toxic thing that happens, you're like, let's tell jokes until the ends of the earth. You're all so sad.
Maybe now, this upcoming holiday season, we not going to get no toxic texts. Like, niggas is called out. We know how you roll. We know what you want out of this, and you're not going to get it. So just don't send it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Go be with your goddamn family.
I haven't called somebody out for doing something that's not result in change the behavior. Because you know something?
I could be shamed out of doing some shit.
Well, you know what? In action, maybe, but not in theory. Because in your head, you are just the nigga you always were. You were who you were before you got here. That's what Jay-Z said. No, he said you was who you was before you got here.
That's
really how shit be.
God ain't through with me yet, though.
Whether my ex has got a text from me or not, maybe I had some toxic thoughts. Doesn't matter.
Right.
It's still real. Doesn't matter.
Drums, please.
You got mail.
O to the, E to the.
You get scared to leave this stupid.
Oh!
Yes.
Thanks for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me.
Hit me.
I appreciate that.
Dude.
Hello, Moto.
It's happening. It's 67 degrees in Charlotte, North Carolina today, which means that the world is ending as we expected it to. And also that we are all just running away from pneumonia just every second of every day until the winter ends. It's literally the worst.
I don't know what's happening on Earth, but I don't like it. I like winter to be winter, and I'm a little uncomfortable.
You know, I came to a realization today, Jazz, something that I don't think people have thought about clearly. What if my destiny was to be a criminal? Have you ever thought about the fact that you tell kids about all this integrity and all this character, but maybe they're supposed to be good at crime?
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, what I've never thought about that, JD, actually. Well, here's the thing.
You might be stifling your kids by teaching them to be honest and have integrity and do shit like that.
Because whenever, they might not excel in that realm, but they could excel in the opposite.
Exactly. Whenever you get caught, I got caught cheating one time by my mama because I told somebody. And she was like, we're going to tell the teacher. Why would you do that? Why would you tell the teacher? I got the desired outcome from what I was trying to do. Isn't that what this is all about?
Right.
Now, I could be living a life of successful crime right now with millions of dollars, and I wouldn't have to be in North Carolina in this terrible weather.
Where would you be? I'd have a bunch of money.
On a beach somewhere, like living off of my crime money.
All right. Well.
Life fucked me up, man. They told me I had to have integrity, and that shit is whack. It pays terribly.
All right, let's get into some little updates, some little zingers for you. Damon Wayans is coming back to ABC.
Right, he's coming back to the same spot that he left you in.
Yes, he is going to be the co-creator of a family show called Let's Stay Together. That's the working title. And the premise is that he is a single father raising millennial children. Sounds like a good show. Now it's just the kids.
Do Al Green
not
get
my
paid?
Wife and kids, just the kids.
Do Al Green get paid for that?
Let's Stay Together?
Yeah. That's the second Let's Stay Together, maybe third Let's Stay Together that's been on TV. Do he get a check?
Probably not.
That's some bullshit.
This is all the information we got, that he's a single father raising millennial children. We don't know the backstory to divorce, widower, or whatever. So
I guess we just gonna have to wait and see.
Yes, but okay. I did ask the audience, was they going to watch? And 95% said, hell yeah.
Let me tell you something. At least 33% of niggas is lying.
I agree.
All right.
I'm going to watch because I'm all about Damon Wayans is just one of my favorites. And I think he is just, he's effortlessly funny to me. I love him. So I'm going to watch. Hopefully it's on Hulu so I can watch next day, because I doubt I'm going to be like, oh, Let's Stay Together comes on at 8 p.m. on ABC. I'm going to.
Yeah, sit there.
I mean, I do it with Blackish, so I might.
I don't know. I don't watch a lot of live shows. I wonder what the ratio to watching shows live and watching them back really is for people that have both cable and otherwise. Because, I mean, like, in my head, I'm like, well, I also have commercial-free Hulu, so. A big
stun on us then. Stun on us. How about
listen,
it?
That is the weakest stunt.
Y'all
of
can
life.
Deal with 90 seconds of commercial.
No, because it's the same commercial. It wouldn't
it
bother me if it wasn't the same commercial.
Over and over and over again.
Do these niggas think I'm crazy? And also, like, I don't like the idea of having people selling me shit in my house. At the very least, shut the fuck up. If nothing else, I want to be at home not thinking about a Toyota or car insurance just for a day, one day.
Well, you got your wish. You don't got them ads. You good.
Nah, Instagram got it now. Now I just got to say out loud that I'm hungry. Like, you know, I could go for some Jimmy Dines. Open up Instagram. You know what you could go for? Jimmy Dines. Bitch, what? I'm sick of that.
Stop listening to me.
We need to do something about that in 2020. I want a new bill for whatever the fuck they got going on. Because niggas is listening.
All right, next up. Brandy teased a Moesha reboot recently. She joined her former co-stars, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and what's Frank Mitchell's real name, damn it?
William
Allen Young.
I couldn't talk if I wanted to. Because the thing about it, all three of these words are very easy to pronounce. William.
Cheryl
say
Lee
it all the time.
Ralph.
Allen.
William Allen Young.
Brandy
Moesha Norwood.
Now, you know her middle name is not Moesha. However, that would be like a huge deal if we found out. I would be super excited about that fact if that was a real thing. But it's not.
Moesha should be her middle name?
Yeah, that would be hilarious. I would love that.
But this is one of those things where I think Brandy just was excited in the moment. I don't think it's an actual thing. A few people have hit me up like, yo, what you think about this? How you feel about this? I don't feel nothing till I see them in a production set, like so that filming
was, that
some.
Was Brandy's toxic text to the past.
She yes, it was.
She was like, happy 15th anniversary, Moesha. I know you think I forgot about you.
Yo, think of all the things we could have been right now. How about we try this again?
Oh my God,
girl!
Moesha was like falling, bursting at the seams the last two seasons. Anyway, it was just turning into this shit show in general. However, here's the thing,
dog. Moesha went from just going to school and having crushes on boys to her brother getting kidnapped, her brother being a day in the life of crime.
It
like
was a soap.
What is going on?
Okay. In her defense, though, a lot of shit like that is on TV. So it's not as if for some reason that's a good reason that it shouldn't exist. You know what I'm saying?
It got dramatic.
It did get dramatic. Which, I mean, look, so is all the shit on OWN and Tyler Perry's BET Plus Productions.
The Game.
Listen. Here's the thing. I think.
Yo, I also recently heard that The Game might be rebooted.
Yeah,
too.
That's a small little tidbit. That's something that
I
might be happening.
I did hear that recently, but that's besides the point. The
None
point
of them are
being,
working enough for them to not want to do it.
The point being that we've heard so many stories about reboots recently, and you have not seen one of them come to fruition. Like, we haven't seen Sister, that was getting hyped up for a minute. We haven't seen Martin, that was getting hyped up for a minute. So I just say, just, you know, hold your horses until people actually sign some papers. Honestly, wait till you see a pilot on TV, because if it ain't getting to a pilot, it's probably not happening. So I'm just not going to even, I don't have thoughts besides that.
Well, I mean, add to, here's the thing about reboots, and I know you guys generally express the fact that you don't like them all the time, but you get excited for the ones that you're excited for. I see you lying. I'm tired of reboots. Let it be some shit you fuck with. You'd be like, I'm so ready for this. Oh my God, please let this come out. But yeah, once you rebooted something, it's been rebooted. You don't get that back. You know what I'm saying? That's my only thing. So sometimes I do generally feel like, yeah, let's like pick and choose. Let's be choosy about this. Because if all this talent exists, can't it just exist in the form of something new?
It could. It's just unfortunate that a lot of shows, they end it without, you know, finishing closure. The stories and without closure. And people really hold on to that. And we have held on to that. And I would really love to know how that story goes and what Moesha is up to now. But I also just like the idea that I can create it in my head and just live with that.
Because here's the thing. Much like real life, closure doesn't exist anywhere.
Okay.
So, like, it doesn't matter.
Hello?
You know what's crazy?
Realistically.
When we first started this podcast, Nick, my whole thoughts about, like, us tearing apart some of the ideas we have about life because that we got from TV that have, like, affected us dramatically, that's a big, big one of them. That, like, things wrap up. You like, your life don't get wrapped up like that. Maybe those sitcoms that cut us short is a healthy reminder that sometimes that's just how shit be.
I feel like it's part of a bigger legacy. Like,
it's
us
better
not
with the
knowing
mystery.
The answers
yeah.
to those questions are going to keep us talking about it for years to come. So I think that's kind of fun. And yeah. You know what? For the record, if it reboots, yes, I'm going to watch. So yeah. Whatever.
But you
Judge
know what? You can be all the things. Like you can kind of not want it, kind of watch it. You can do anything you want to. It really doesn't matter. But you know, something else I also wanted to know. This is a small tidbit I forgot to mention. So Eddie was on SNL last Saturday, and everybody was, of course, you know,
oh
super
my gosh,
excited. He was
let's
amazing.
Discuss.
Yeah, he was amazing. Well, the thing is, I don't even really necessarily want to discuss the episode so much as when they posted the photo where Tracy, Dave, Chris, Eddie, and Keenan were all involved in the monologue.
Right.
And people were like kind of up in arms about whether Keenan deserved to be there. Mm-hmm. Everybody that gave him praise spelled his name wrong. And I just kind of want you guys to like just like everybody wanted to be like the thing about K-E-E-E-N-E-N or K-E-E-N-A-N is he's amazing. He's a legend. Like he's not a legend enough for you to just Google it to be sure what his name is. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like you guys literally verbatim asked to put respect on his name and it's the wrong name.
Literally. Put the wrong name, bitch. Like, come on.
Like, all I want you to do is use, like, Google is free. Yo.
For the record, you do agree that he deserved that, right?
Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
Ironically enough,
everybody's debating this, like, on the podcast I'm listening to right now, but he absolutely deserves to be in that picture. Get the
Here's the catch, though. Whether or not you think he does or doesn't, something that we do all do is make something out of nothing. It wasn't somebody who, like, got together all the legends and was like, hey, all these guys are legends. Nobody said anything.
It was not even supposed to be that narrative.
This is how it was written. And to be fair, Keenan wrote most of the monologue. So it's crazy for you to not invite the nigga that wrote the jokes. Why should he not be there? Those monologues are written by the staff. And Keenan writes almost every black host monologue with the person, of course. But it's really unfair for you to even think that the person that writes these monologues doesn't belong there. That's crazy.
I just got to stop hating for real.
Yeah, listen, it is a disease, but I do love that he got at Cosby. That was amazing. He did this whole thing where he was like, I'm working again now because I'm about to have my 10th kid, right? Mm-hmm. I would have been like, you know, it's really expensive having a big family whenever you're not playing every character in the family.
Because you're just one person. But
they missed that whole bit. Like, I was like, wow. Would have definitely, that joke would have made the show.
That could have been a clip.
Because that's
sure.
Perfect. But damn it.
Hey,
you know,
maybe you should go write for SNL.
I have ambitions.
Just an idea.
I've got dreams.
So yeah, that's our little bit of updates. Moving on to our main event.
My girlfriends, there for anything. My girlfriends,
my girlfriends. you keep forgetting that through thick and thin.
Hey, listen, I don't need to know the words. All I know is my girlfriend. My girlfriend.
What girlfriends? Which ones?
My girlfriend. You don't hear the vibrato in my voice. Like, niggas ain't got the vibrato. Like, my girlfriend. You gotta see me.
Girlfriend.
You can't even sing it if you don't roll your eyes a little bit when you're doing it. Girlfriends.
Got that little whisper in them.
Hell, y'all don't know about that whisper.
All right,
tone.
Okay. That was fun and all, but let's get them a little bit of the Angie Stone version. That's Angie Stone.
Black brother, soul brother.
Black brother, I love you. There is no one above you. I want you to know that I'll be here for you. Is her voice? Like, why are we doing this voice with Angie Stone? Is this her voice? I don't think it is.
You know, ironically enough, my Angie Stone and my Fantasia just are like a little.
That's
like
what
a
I
little,
was going to say. Fantasia, and I don't think they sound.
Pass me not, oh gentle savior, if you don't want me, don't talk to me.
My girlfriend, through thick and thin. My girlfriend, for anything. My girlfriend.
Come on, guitars. I just want to go on record as saying that my vibrato when I did my girlfriends sounds better than Angie Stone.
Does it? But that background vocal does deserve flowers for just that. It is so good.
And to be honest with you, like, you know, they play the instrumental version of it on the back end, right? And high key, it's very beachy. Like, I would definitely go walk on the beach. It makes you like, you ever see people acting like they're high? You
just. It gives me nostalgia. It really hits my nostalgia when I hear all them guitars. Like, it's like I'm.
It's a good. It's like a good flowing. One. It's a good one. Honestly, a special time in my life is hearing the Girlfriends theme song, the All of Us theme song, the One-on-One theme song, and the Half and Half theme song. All of that shit. I want to say, I think I was just a happy person. Like, you know what I'm saying? It may not have been the shows. I think that I
was generally happier.
I was just,
at
like,
this
life was just really good. And so whenever you just hear, like, and it, like, when life's good and black people on TV at the same time, I feel like that's a good vibe. I like I like life being good and seeing niggas on TV simultaneously.
It's a good feeling, right?
Sit down, life good, niggas on TV.
Yeah, so Girlfriends, September 11th, 2000 to February 11th, 2008. We're actually running up on the 20th anniversary of its premiere.
Yeah, it
does. It's
going
to hit 20 years in September of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's crazy to think that Tracee Ellis Ross has been an adult that long.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of wild. And you know, she was playing a 30-year-old. She is really like 50-something.
Tracee Ellis Ross has phenomenal youth energy.
She does.
It's all
at the same time, being your older auntie. Like, it's just a nice little balance that she has.
I mean, yeah, she's got a vibe, but we know people like that. But I'm just so glad that she's here and she's got, like, so much work left to do, it seems
Me and JD were in a time crunch getting this show together and figuring out what we were going to talk about. Because what we were going to originally do, it just flopped. We were going to do a holiday.
Oh, wow.
We were going to do a holiday. Yeah, I know. We were going to give you guys some holiday cheer or whatever, but the way it worked out, it just didn't happen, okay? Sometimes shit just don't happen. And so we had limited time to prepare, and we both recently ran back Girlfriends. And I was like, you know what? That should be pretty fresh in our minds. That's something we could both go back and forth about. Let's do Girlfriends.
To be fair, this is much better for syndication, because we had done a holiday episode. That's like a whole year worth of you not checking that shit out.
Right?
Y'all, you might be like, this
gonna come back around September 11th for the 20-year anniversary.
Exactly.
And y'all better retweet when I post that shit.
In fact, I might just be a business Jehovah's Witness, not doing no holiday shit, because that shit don't age that well. It really doesn't. Here's the thing. Girlfriends is one of Jasmine's favorite shows, and I am an avid guru for digging into my friends' shit. When I meet somebody, I'm like, oh, I fuck with you. What do you fuck with? And then whenever they tell me what they fuck with, I'm like, I'm going to fuck with that because I fuck with you.
That's beautiful.
Like, it must be that something. I must have to try that out. Cause you know
that
what
is
saying?
A beautiful foundation to a friendship.
Well, you know.
Let me try to fuck with some stuff you fuck with. Like, just to show you that I care.
Listen, that's where everything begins. That's how bonds happen, fam.
That's
and here's
facts.
The thing. So I spent the summer running Girlfriends back, BET, was introducing it. Like, it's so crazy how fast this switch happened. Okay, in May of 2019.
You know BET, the exact months?
Listen, I know where I was and what I was doing.
Okay.
This year has been so specifically trash that I know every day.
I could call back
any one moment of this year with perfect clarity.
Because at some point, life was falling apart on that day, too. Like,
nigga, listen,
I was having a time.
I had to pick up pieces. This whole year been like Jenga. And it's always my turn. And I just like, this whole shit about to just fall over. Like, this whole shit about to just fall the fuck over, nigga.
Relatable content.
Oh, my God.
It's always my turn.
No, like, you know what I'm doing every month?
At some point, shit is going to fall over, niggas. Know, like, at some point.
It was just one long turn, and I'm tipping a little block. I'm not confident, but I keep poking at this little block to see what's going to happen if I poke the block out. So, I guess January, New Year's, that's my plan. Just pull the block all the way out. See what happened. Pull the trigger.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. In May, BET was like, you love them. You miss them. They're your girlfriends. And I was like, hell yeah, BET. Turn up. Because I really hadn't got a chance to run that thoroughly. Mm-hmm. So, like, BET going to help me out. I set my DVR to record that motherfucker so I could just build them up and watch it on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I work on Friday and Saturday, mm-hmm. right? I'd be gone. And Sunday, I like to chill. I unwind. And I was like, I'm going to watch Girlfriends marathons every Sunday. And then 2 weeks into this damn new BET, they was like, just kidding. Turns out you need more House of Pain. I didn't realize that you niggas missed House of Pain. I know we play it for
Please
6 hours.
Stop.
Oh my
it.
God. Bro, they dogged them out. But they didn't even get through a whole run. They didn't get through a
really?
Whole one series run. Because I had
you
them recording.
You know, at the same time, I wasn't checking for it because I was watching my DVD.
That's facts.
Shout out to my father. He bought me the whole series on DVD.
Yo, that is OD thoughtful. So thoughtful.
My dad,
wow.
When I tell my mom and dad I want something, listen, they gonna get it. Like,
it's crazy just to have, like, I mean, people do this. They have parents that know your interests too. Like,
oh, and my mom is a whole different monster. My mom know you like something, You will get it in every form she's able to buy it. You want some socks? You want a shirt? Oh, you want a
wow?
You want a goddamn 8x10 on your wall? What you want? I'm a find a version of whatever your favorite thing is. A coffee mug.
You listen. You are bigging up your mom, and she's going to have to hear this one day without the goddamn.
My mama know I'll be cussing. I just don't do it around her.
Out of all the curse words, goddamn, really?
Goddamn people, is light.
People really hate goddamn though.
Really?
They think it's blasphemous.
But it's got. I ain't saying. I'm saying goddamn.
I'm saying guy. I say G-A-H.
I'm saying goddamn. Yeah,
I don't worship guy. Okay. And we don't worship God.
We don't. You know what
so
I'm saying?
God damn so, it.
Hey, mom, girl, I'm going to put this up for your 60th birthday. I'm going to talk about goddamn all the shit you bought for me, girl.
You are trash. No,
seriously, though. Seriously, my mom is a beast. Girlfriends is so important, so monumental. And looking at it now through my adult eyes, experiencing that as an adult, knowing that I've been through some of the things they're going through, or I'm probably going to go through some of the things they're going through. Mm-hmm. It is so different to watch as an adult. I was in front of the TV at 12, 13, enjoying the show, but now it's just a whole new experience as somebody maybe possibly nearing 30. Don't take that, you know, and try to figure out my age. Maybe I'm 30. Maybe I'm not.
They know what your age is if they're avid listeners, because we've been outed that. But I will say, piggyback on what you're saying, I was telling Jazz whenever I first, you know, kind of finished it or got close to it, I was like, they marketed this show not incorrectly, but I do feel like I missed the boat because it seemed so black women centered that it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. But two things to note. For men, you should watch black women stuff if you're interested in them. Hello? I think that's kind of like...
Talk to them, JD. Talk to them.
I've always done that. It's never really been an issue for me. To be quite frank, I'm more interested in black women than I am black men, like, with ease. So, like, it's never been a hard thing for me. But I did think that it was going to be, like, a bunch of issues I could not relate to by any means. But the male characters, even on the opposite end of, like, let's just say they're just people that are dating the main four, there's a lot of relatable qualities there for men also. There's so much that the show is essentially just a great black sitcom and not really a black woman's sitcom.
I never thought, like, until this recent rewatch, I was like, yo, they literally talked about everything under the sun, and it's so relevant and so, like, sexism and racism in the workplace, pregnancy scares. Niggas been through that. Divorce, therapy, sex addiction, fibroids, like, which is very common in black women.
Yeah,
like Maya ended up having fibroids. And that's something we talk about a lot because it's so common in black women. Cheating, dating in your 30s, miscarriage, STDs, adoption, domestic violence. Like, they
all the shit
really
that make you not want to grow up.
Right. All this shit that make you not want to grow up and the things we stay in the house to avoid, right?
Yeah.
All right. Full character breakdown. Starting with, obviously, the star of the show, Joan Carol Clayton. Joan was the glue that kept the group together. She was supportive, so much so that she kind of forgot about herself sometimes. And we see her go through that process of, like, how do I make sure I start taking care of me as well? Because she was so used to taking care of her friends that we got to see her go on that whole roller coaster to the point she got to neglecting her friends towards the end. Remember that whole season where she, like, completely, like, is obsessed with herself and thought she was hot shit?
She had a dipless chip. And then she got, and then it was
she
way
had
more
a dipless
dip,
chip.
And it was way more dip than chip very fast.
Yes. But Joan was so lovable. Like, anything she wanted, she got. She knew how to get there. And for some reason, it never clicked with the men in her life. But just like a lot of us, we got to focus on the right things. She was very much successful in every other realm you can think of being a friend, being a career woman, starting a business.
You just you made me realize something about Joan Clayton that I've said on this show before about something else. and that's that Joan is the Will Smith in those arenas where she is hogging all the charisma in her relationships.
God, she had too much of it.
She had too much charisma for anybody to keep up. I mean, she had way too much. I mean, and the thing about it is charisma is one of those like understated qualities that you don't know. You think you're usually attracted to it. You don't know what all it entails whenever you actually are experiencing it firsthand, and all of a sudden you're like, turns out I'm way more lame than this could ever be. Mm-hmm. My thoughts don't seem like they match up. Nothing I'm doing is worth what I'm getting out of Joan Clayton. Mm-hmm. Joan Clayton was funny, smart, and beautiful at the same time.
All the things. And that ass was fat.
You know what's funny? Like, we was going to talk about that ass, but also that inherited house. Here's another thing. Let's talk about the
Joan
fact that
Joan Clayton is...
What a boost. What a fucking boost.
I want the home. I want the ass. I want the hair. I want the charisma. Like,
you have a lot of those things.
Dope as hell.
I ain't gonna say what you got, Dave.
I ain't gonna say what you lacking, but you already know that.
She got that you ain't got. But what you got a lot.
But yeah, Joan is just, she loves holiday. She's very quirky and funny and just all-around woman. Like, you want her on your team.
Cinco de Mayo is holiday time. Holiday time. Holiday time. Cinco de Mayo is holiday time in Mexico. Now the men! Cinco de Mayo is holiday time. Holiday time. Holiday time. Cinco de Mayo is holiday time in Mexico.
That's facts. She was definitely the most desirable out of the four for me. Not for any other reason than the fact that I thought she had more dynamics than the rest of them.
Yes. Her best friend was Tony Childs.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Childs on a different spectrum of life because Tony Childs grew up poor. She grew up with an alcoholic mother. And so when she was an adult, she was like, hey, y'all ain't gonna make me feel them broke ass feelings again. Hey. And she turned 100% bougie. I'ma get mine. I'ma get it for myself, or I'ma get it from you. Either way, you ain't gonna catch me being broke ever again.
They got it honest again, because let me tell you something. Nothing is a better driving force than spite. Boy, let you be doing something in spite of something, you will succeed.
You will succeed. Listen, she was doing all that to spite.
Listen. You better take those L's. Them L's is going to be the reason why you got a bank account one day.
Very much obsessed with herself, and sometimes that was annoying. But let's note that Jill Marie Jones is aging like a fine wine, Lord. Tony and Joan met Lynn in college.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn was half black, half white, but she was adopted by two white parents.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't get in touch with her black side till she was in college and met her girlfriends. She's the free spirit of the group. Sex is power. Tatted up. I do what I want. But sometimes that could get her in trouble because she had 5 degrees and was doing nothing with them for the longest time. So Joan took care of her for a lot of their adulthood. She eventually spreads her wings, but Lynn's story is essentially that she is a hot mess, mostly.
Something else I realized more recently is that I think a little bit of her character spawns off of Phoebe Buffay from Friends.
Really?
In the sense that Phoebe Buffay was not a dumb person. She was a hippie to a fault. And Lynn is kind of fitting of that aesthetic where she's a hipster to a fault. And it makes, you know, for funny situations,
right,
if nothing else.
Some of my biggest laughs is when she out being a hot mess. Like when she was painted silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was being one of those mimic guys on the street.
Yes, and you had to give her money for her to speak.
Hilarious.
That's one of my favorite scenes. It's her talking to multiple people, and like whenever she won't finish a thought, like you got to keep filling up her bucket with money for her.
Okay, likewise with the birthday, the fake birthday on
the fake birthday.
Whenever
episode.
She got that temp job and she lied about her birthday and she got caught, that shit was by far the most funny. I mean, I tell you, it was. it's big Seinfeld funny. And I mean, if y'all watch Seinfeld, it's very up that alley where it's like, wow.
Dog, Lynn was just faking her way through shit because she even became a tour guide and started coming to her friend's house and telling the people, the tourists, that her friends were celebrities. Yeah, yeah. She would come up in Joel's house talking about Denzel Washington. Like,
you know,
Lynn was faking it till she was making it.
You're kind of reminding me that I appreciate the budget that they had for this show.
Yeah.
I think it was higher than the others on UPN.
Well, let's bring up the fact that, as we know, it was abruptly canceled.
Right.
So much so that we did not get closure, as that happens too often back in that time.
Right.
I want to say there was some kind of writer strike at the time.
Yo, the SAG writer strike in 2007.
Yes. And with that, they decided that Girlfriends was not going to return.
Yeah.
And they still had the option to close the story. And they decided that we're not going to put our money into it. It's going to cost us way too much to do a finale. That's why they left us on the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
They did not want to dish out the money to produce the final episode and give us closure. It wasn't worth it to them. And for that, I want to cuss right now.
Well, you know what? I see why it wasn't worth it, mainly because if they weren't going to invest in another season to keep viewers,
they could have gave us a finale, JD.
It would have been a gift. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I just wish they would have gave us one. But still, it adds to the magic of the story that we didn't get to finish. We're going to forever talk about how we don't know how Girlfriends ends. Everybody was on the up and up. We wanted to finally see them in their winning season. Everybody was in their winning season.
It's a bulky show, too. Like, it's kind of heavy. Like, it's syndication ready. It's probably like, how many episodes does it span? Like 100 plus?
A lot.
It's 100 plus.
Yes.
Right?
It was 8 seasons. Granted, the 8th season was only like 8 episodes, but 7 seasons of 20-something episodes, and then the 8th season with 8, that's, y'all do the math, because I don't got time.
But I mean, the fact of the matter is, what you're really outing, if nothing else, is the fact that it's a syndication gem, and it's not really doing syndication. That's a big problem.
Does that have something? I don't know how syndication works, because a show like Girlfriends, is it going to cost more money to replay it? Is that why they don't replay it so much?
I really don't think that they think they have for it.
It comes, and it's very short-lived. Girlfriends has been on multiple networks in syndication, but it does not last more than a minute.
It's like 172 episodes. But I mean, like, here's the thing. It really is networks downplaying the appeal of black women viewers more than anything. Because I think they think it's the only market for it, which is okay. They're wrong, but I think they think it's the only market for it. And that's not enough for it to be on networks. But this is far more episodes than, I'm going to name 3 shows that have less episodes than this that you'll see all day long. Wife and Kids has less episodes than this.
Do you?
Martin has less episodes than this.
Absolutely.
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air has less episodes than this. Living Single has less episodes than this. This literally is arguably, and it's going to blow my mind if this is true, but I think The Cosby Show has less episodes than this.
Let's find out.
It's 30 more. It's a season, really much, pretty much a season's more.
The Cosby Show has a season more?
201 episodes.
Okay.
But fact of the matter is, this amount of episodes with somebody that has the appeal of Tracee Ellis Ross, I do think would be great for these urban Viacom-esque networks to be boosting. If Tyler Perry is going to own BET, VH1 could at least swap out some of that shit they got going on.
I agree. Getting back to our character breakdown.
I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right, because every time we talk about Girlfriends, we try to figure out why the hell is it not in syndication as much as it should be. But let me bring up another point, that it's also fun for me when I don't have full access to something, mm-hmm, like to just mm-hmm, watch casually mm-hmm, all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, Fresh Prince is not as fun to me right now because it's always on. Martin's always on. And it's like, you can kind of get fatigued at some point. You want it to always be on when it's convenient. But it's just like, those shows have been in syndication so long. It's just, I like the mystery of not knowing when I'm going to be able to see girl. I can see it anytime now just because I own
but
it. You,
but also, like, but, it adds value to the fact that you own it.
Yeah.
Because if it was on as often as it was, you'd watch it a lot less on your own time also. You would not be reaching for your DVD set. And that's something that a lot of people, like, fuck up. Because, I mean, we had this conversation before that, like, there's something special about, like God is smiling on you whenever your favorite episode or your favorite syndicated thing is on. That's like, wow, I was having a rough day, but it turns out Hashitashi is on. I love Hashitashi. Or for me, really, it's the man that sleeps on the floor cannot fall out of bed. But regardless of those things, we might be asking for too much. And I do honestly think that the reason why we don't see a lot of girlfriends, because now that I started assessing it, is the fact that those other actresses, actors for that matter, are not doing a lot of work right now. And everything they do has some level of appeal in what's currently going on. Jamie Foxx has a film coming out. You see a little more Jamie Foxx. Bad Boys is coming out soon. You see a lot more Martin and a lot more Fresh Prince. You know what I'm saying? Those things are correlating with boosting those actors' new projects. And I think that's kind of what the issue is here, because Tracee Ellis Ross is the biggest pull here.
Yeah, you're right. Back to our character breakdown. Maya was new to the group. She was pretty fresh from the time we started watching the girlfriends. She is Joan's secretary. Mm-hmm. And, of course, with that Maya clash with Tony, Maya is a around-the-way girl. Maya is sassy. She tells it like it is. She has more of a humble upbringing. And Tony and her always bumped heads. But they quickly fixed that in season one, which I'm glad. Like, it wasn't a full
time. It looked like it was going to turn into a Martin, Gina, Kyle, Pam.
I'm glad it didn't.
It would have been exhausting.
It would have been, like, probably cool, but I'm glad it was a full, cohesive group of friends that were really friends.
Somebody,
you know what I mean,
in that writer's room is smart enough to know exactly how those jokes age. Insult, like the dozens.
Like, we can play it for a little bit, yeah, and then we're going to fizzle it out.
Because in the 90s, that's all we did. It was literally
You just always wanted a rivalry.
Yeah, yeah.
In the friend
people group. Were insulting each other to, like, a really dark mental health place. And I think right around 2000, we were just like, you know, this is meaner than people that should be hanging out with each other should be.
Right, exactly.
How would you continue spending time with each other, exactly, if you're going to insult them this much?
You don't like the middleman that much that you're going, like, take this.
That might be what it was. It might be like somebody had an authenticist. It might have been that somebody had an authenticity rule in that writer's room, and they wanted to be sure that there was not going to be some sort of a crazy, like, you would never stay friends with somebody who said these things about somebody like this. Yeah. We appreciate that realness.
But Maya, also very lovable just because she was so cultured.
Yeah.
Like, she gonna tell you how it is. Mm-hmm. She had no shame in her game. She was a devoted wife, at least for a minute she was. She was with somebody.
Y'all fall short of God's grace at some point.
She was with somebody since she was a preteen. And they had a teen pregnancy. She was married. And so, you know, she was probably the most relatable in the sense of just grinding and, like, having a normal type of life.
Definitely somebody that, like, you knew somebody like her.
You know somebody Maya. Yeah. I always felt like the Maya, but I think now I'm turning more into Joan, maybe.
My sister's definitely a Maya. She's a hardcore, my bigger sister is a hardcore Maya. There's, like, no wiggle room there. Like, she's nobody else. Just Maya.
That's to the core. I like that. Like, the older I get, though, I'm taking pieces from each one.
I hope God smiles on you and gives you a little bit of time with each of them. You get to be everybody. Maybe you get to be everybody before you die. Who knows?
Right. I hope to get a little piece of everybody.
Your heaven is girlfriends. You're going to walk into heaven. It's going to be girlfriends and sister. Just it's going to be Tia, Tamara, Maya, Lynn, Joan, and Tony.
And then last but so not least, William Dent. William was the perfect cherry on top to this hot fudge sundae.
Wow.
He,
what a metaphor.
His comedic timing, like, he was always where he needed to be. He could be in the scene and say one line, and it would be the best part of that scene sometimes.
Man, when
he kept them girls together.
And you know what? William did. Here's the thing. I think a lot of men, like, we discussed this show on Unfinished Business whenever my cousin was mm-hmm. on. And he mentioned how much he did not like William Dent. And I think a lot of people they wrote him off really early for kind of like giving him like a gay best friend sort of a.
That's the vibe he had.
Assessment. But I mean, he was way less. Well, okay, I'll put it like this. In the sense that a lot of straight men could not get away with talking about those women the way that he did.
Right.
It's kind of
them
a little.
And bitches,
yeah, it's
and
kind
hoes.
Of gay to do that. That's true. That's true.
Would you ever call me a hoe or a bitch or a heifer? No.
Hell no. Like it wouldn't even occur to me to do such a thing. In that sense, that was a little effeminate. However, you don't like that word. I'm sorry, as soon as I said it, I was like, it was a little feminine. Let me just say that. But everything else about this dude is just he was a career-oriented person, generally.
Yes.
So he really got his wits out with these girls. That's kind of where he, like, goes to play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where he went to unwind because he was very much a professional. He's climbing the ladder at the law firm, and when he got with them, it was like, all right, bitch. Like,
right. Ooh, he was raised in a very high-pressure home, which you find out later. I'm glad they added that dynamic. The eighth season really did a good job at giving us seventh and eighth season, for that matter, did a good job at giving us a little bit of backstory
as to why he grinds so hard.
And not just him, but people. Like, the characters in general, I got more insight as to why they're set up the way they are.
Which is interesting because he ends up marrying Monica. Mm-hmm. And Monica was almost another version of his dad in a sense that everything she thought was like, how can we be successful? Like, she is part of the reason why he climbed up that law firm ladder, because that was her goal in that dynamic. It's like, how do I make my man get to the top? We going to have these meetings. We're going to host parties. We're going to invest in you, and we're going to make the best you can be. And that put a lot of pressure on him, just like his father did.
And you know what? I've got two solid thoughts on this. One, we do tend to date and or marry like we were parented in some level. We mm-hmm. are generally attracted to what we're most comfortable. That's just human nature. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I'm not super against this brand of relationship. I know a lot of men get up in arms about the idea of, like, you know, these women are gold diggers. But that would also insinuate that there's some sort of, like, end to money that can be made. And there really isn't. You could really just go off and be great and be great forever. And I like the idea of having a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, what you have to appreciate was that she wasn't your stereotypical gold digger where she just sat around and waited for you to do stuff. No, she, like, helped you get there. She had the steps. She had the connections and the mindset to get you there. She wasn't just sitting on her ass like, hey, you do all the work. She invested her money into him. She invested her time. She really was a piece of the puzzle. So I'm gotta appreciate that part at least.
I'm scary to say this to people out in the world, but in a lot of ways, finding that happy medium with, like, a solid partnership and enjoying the person is really where you want to be, because partnership is, like, really the end all be all. Because you want to have a good life too, right?
Right.
So it's going to require a little bit of discipline. It can't just be love. Like, love is great, but, like, it really doesn't pay for anything. Mm-hmm. And you want to travel, right? You want to have children and you want to do all these things. And it just is not enough to just have somebody like you for you, because you could use some work, all of us. All of us. I'm talking to myself like you alike. I mean, you alike. It would occur to you that meeting somebody who would bring out the better versions of yourself, even if it comes from, like, it seems kind of harsh, it's not the worst thing in the world. I think he got that honest, and I really liked that relationship.
Notable, season one was, like, really different from all the other seasons because Joan had moments with the audience to where she looked at us and talked to us.
Mm-hmm. Very old trope. Because I don't know if you guys remember this. Seinfeld did a cold open. Martin did used to do a cold open their first seasons too. Mm-hmm. And Zach Morris used to pause the show and just explain what was going on. This nigga be like, yo, I know y'all watched it, but here's what happened.
The one that always plays in my head, the most memorable time mm-hmm. that Joan spoke to us was when she was at, I think, a party. I think everybody invited their exes to the party or something. She was dealing with somebody from her past. I know that much. Mm-hmm. And she looks at us and she says,
okay, ladies, take note. This is where I turn and he pops a wheelie because I remind him that all of this booty could have been his.
Pans to her ass as she walks away. And I'll never forget her looking at us and telling us, like, I'm about to show him what he missing, bitch. Like, that was a moment.
You know what? I remember that moment as well.
Not
for the same reasons that you do.
She had that dress on and she walked away and it was poking.
You know what's really funny is a nigga can never say some shit like that. like now I'm about to walk away with my dick face and see what see everything she missing.
Yes. Also, Darnell was different. Flex Alexander was the original Darnell, who was Maya's husband.
Yes.
But thanks to him getting his one-on-one show, we switched Darnell out for, what's his name? What is
Khalil
that?
Kane.
Khalil Kane, Juice. Khan, whatever.
Here's the thing. This is proof that God is always working.
Hello.
Because that switch was imperative to my interest in that show.
You might imperative. Be right. It might have been a change that needed to happen no matter what.
Listen,
I don't
Darnell
know
was a guy. He was a guy. Flex was a goofball in his essence. You know what I'm saying? Like, the funniest thing about Flex Alexander is that he looked like he's supposed to be funny. I don't know if he is or not, but that nigga looked like he's supposed to be funny.
Right.
Khalil Kane, I could take him seriously.
Darnell was one of those roles where you needed to have a certain stature and a certain delivery and a certain way about you, because at times he was misogynistic. Like, let's be honest.
Men are at times.
He was a little bit toxic at times. And I don't know if Flex could have, like, captured the full essence of who Darnell was.
Well, you know, there's a period of time where Joan is suspect of Flex Darnell cheating on Maya.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he showed us his range in that moment. And it was not amazing. That's the thing. I feel like in my head when I watched that back, because I had to struggle to watch season one because it's not available on the CW app. So mm-hmm. I had to go on dailymotion.com like a nigga and airplay that shit. Yeah, like airplay that shit. But that being said, when I'm watching that scene, I'm like, damn, I wish Khalil Kane was already in this.
Yo, imagine if he did that scene, though. Which reminds me, as we know, Maya in season two, I think, she ends up emotionally cheating on Darnell.
Mm.
She wasn't getting, like, the emotional support. She had the fibroids and she was trying to do a career change, and she didn't feel supported in her marriage. So she ended up slipping into a little emotional affair. Mm-hmm. I think the only physical thing that happened, they kissed. And when Darnell finds out that scene.
You know what's crazy? I
was shaking.
I think that I could forgive something like this. I think I might legitimately not have broken up with my girl for something specifically like this, but I do want to say that nigga is not Blair Underwood.
Like the guy she cheated with, Stan.
Yeah.
Looks
yo,
like Blair Underwood.
This nigga looked like Blair Underwood, evil
and
cousin.
And you thought it was Blair Underwood.
Or Blair Underwood is the evil cousin of this nigga.
We don't
However,
know.
We don't
Do
know this
know
nigga's
them?
Name. So this nigga's name, we already ain't put enough like credit for whoever this nigga is, because we decided that Blair Underwood was the name we were going to go with. I don't know his name, but he looked just like his ass.
He looks exactly like him, just a couple shades lighter.
Okay, I don't
That's
know.
That's literally it.
I don't have a good read on that, but what I will say is that whenever Darnell finds out, because the craziest thing is that she literally has this man all up in the crib, like to cover her tracks.
No, that was Stan's doing. Stan found out
that
who
was
her,
psychotic.
Stan was psychotic. Stan found out who her husband was and befriended him. That wasn't Maya's doing. Maya did some fucked up things in this situation, but introducing him and bringing him around her man was definitely not one of them. Like, he showed up. Like,
but you know, you can't say? What could you say? You know what I'm saying? You can't.
And you say that that's forgivable, but in that moment and the person that Darnell was, which was very egotistical, of course he doesn't forgive her right then and there. He wasn't going to deal with her cheating on him.
Well, I mean,
he's a man's man. He can't handle that shit.
He wasn't going to be open to
hearing why she did it. Sometimes, yeah, maybe y'all could sit down and have that conversation, but Darnell, to his core, was not interested in that.
See, now that's the thing. Like, and maybe this is too deep for the intro, but what I will say is I definitely would have reacted, and there would have been like a blowout leading up to us having a conversation.
Nigga, but the thing
I know about long-term relationships is that the longer they are, the more unkept thoughts exist, you know? So like, if you're not getting those out, you're fucked up. Like, it wouldn't matter. It would have, here's the thing. As long as they were dating from like high school, it was bound. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was almost like, if it's not this man, it's somebody else, because we've gotten dry. You know what I'm saying? Like, and letting shit get dry or stale, that shit's bound to happen. And that's on both parties. It's worth having a conversation about. We might have ended things, but we definitely would have had a conversation.
Absolutely. But they end up getting remarried, and they address those issues once again, to where it was like, you always want control, Darnell.
Right.
And they do have to have those conversations. And I think he eventually accepted his role in the situation, which is, it's crazy, because when you think about it, Maya went off to be single. She dated, and Darnell went right into like, I found somebody and I'm going to marry her.
You know, men really like doing it, especially like men who are relationship people. They usually like can't not be in one. Like, they don't know how to not be in one. So anybody that gives them time of day, especially fresh out of a long, long, long one like that, they're like, yes, yes. I want to die alone, please. We don't like to heal. We really don't like to heal.
The fact that we get to Darnell's wedding with Lena, and
he kind of leaves her at Maya, the altar.
Well, not kinda, he does. The girl, everybody encourages Maya to speak up. Like, he ends up coming to her house drunk the night before his wedding, and that's how you knew shit was
on some
like,
Dwitley and Dwayne
up.
Shit.
Like,
I said Dwitley and Dwayne, but on some Whitley and Dwayne shit. Might as well call him Dwitley.
And so from that, you know that his love did not die. He still very much wanted to be with her, but that damn ego gets you every time. And they're encouraging Maya to speak up and say something to him, and she does it. And there's a scene where everybody runs out the church when Darnell's trying to get married. Like, they all, like, one at a time. Like, Joan gets up, and then William gets up, and then Maya gets up, and they all, like, run out one by one out of the chapel. Wow. And Darnell ends up coming out and getting back with Maya.
And listen, it's only romantic in theory. I'm telling you right now.
Please, y'all, don't wait. Like, don't wait to the wedding day to show up.
Here's the thing. It's so hasty that it will make you so concerned for what happens next that it will not be fun. It'll be the most amazing 25 minutes of your life, but that 26th minute, you're gonna be like, did you just leave this bitch? What is wrong with you?
We get to see the couple that we love go be in bliss, but there's a whole family inside the chapel just sitting
just
there
murdered their whole day.
Wondering what the fuck
happened.
Do you think about what's on the other side of that? What's still inside the chapel?
You cannot bring people into your mess. Because sometimes, here's the thing. I love when we find out later that it turns out that he had picked up marijuana as a habit while they were like, going through it or whatever. He probably should have stuck with that, because you want to know how much easier it is to just decide, oh, I'm back with my wife, I don't need weed no more. That's so much easier, because the weed, not disappointed, somebody gonna smoke it. Left this whole family just tragically. And the thing about that is I just, man, there are men that do this to women and they get this far. And I'm telling you right now, Don't do it. It's not worth it. You would much rather be alone because there are other people's lives at stake. And that's selfish. It's just selfish no matter how you put it. In real time, if you were to ask for any advice, if for some reason you were like, I'm in love with this other woman, but I paid for this wedding and I have been engaged to this woman and her family knows me well and it's been a year of planning this wedding, I'm going to tell your black ass that you just lost. You have to marry the woman that you planned the wedding with now. That's what you did. That's what you did. It's not my fault. You could have not done that. You could have not done it.
Could have made a better decision.
You could have made a better decision.
Could have put your pride to the side, my G.
Well, listen, count to 10 slowly before you do anything, okay?
Read me. Read me. I be skipping that step sometimes. That's why I be fucking up. I got to remember to count to 10.
Whatever. Okay, I'm not talking to Jazz. I'm talking to the audience. Just want to stay on
count
task.
Count to 10 or you will end up in a marriage that you did not mean to be in.
Listen. Because I'm going to tell you, Chris Brown was right about one thing. It can get ugly before it get beautiful. Some real shit.
The average person ain't showing up to the wedding to stop it. So your ass is stuck for real. So and I mean, good luck.
I just would never live it down. I would never live it down. I'm telling you right now, if the person that I'm most in love with in the world is at the altar, I'll be depressed until the day I die having missed out on that opportunity before. I'm like, no, I'm doing this for love. And I'm like, no, nigga, this is embarrassing as hell. Two things. Listen, this could go any which way. Because here's the thing. It would make more sense for her or him in whatever situation to be like, no. It would make sense on everything, logically and sometimes emotionally. They might not love you back. That's a real thought. They might love you back and be like, nah, nigga, I've been playing in a wedding. I just can't do it. I'm sorry.
Hey, where you been? I've been in this relationship for 3 goddamn years.
Let me tell you something. I will tell you to your face like, no, I guess I understand that. I'd probably do the same thing. How much you spent on the wedding? 60,000. Oh. I don't love you.
What's the conversation after that? Somebody just lost $60,000.
Look, in real.
Do I owe you now? Because I busted this up. Do I got to pay somebody's goddamn mama back?
In real
I
got to
go give your mama $60,000.
Let me tell you how this happens to me. I interrupt the wedding. I walk up. I get rejected, right, in front of the church, right? And I'm like, okay. So you're going, all right, y'all going to go ahead. And I'm going to go back and sit next to the girl that I bought, like, I just playing. That's a little game we used to play back in the day. Like, I'm going to interrupt your wedding one day. We was just kidding. It's part of the, it's like a flash mob. You remember flash mobs?
Dog. Oh, shit. Let's dig into Tony and Jones' relationship. I pray that none of us have a relationship that's this unstable. I will say it kind of made you feel a sense of normalcy to it being so abnormal. You felt like maybe it's okay to fall out with friends and reconvene. But this shit got really nasty. From season one, though.
But, I mean, that to me is the most endearing quality of the show because so much of this sounds like shit that I've heard from the woman in my life that they've had to deal with in their friendships. And I was like, wow. I mean, like, there wasn't a lot of rose-colored shit in this show. People did make up, but I feel like it was a very natural kind of, it didn't feel like TV magic almost ever.
Okay, well, let's start at season one where we first realize how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
Joan, Tony, let's start with Tony. Tony, as I told you, bougie. She definitely dates for money, dates for high profile, whatever. Yeah. Tony is dating two guys. One's a doctor. One's her first real true love. And he is
An artist.
And he's broke.
Yeah.
But she loved him to his core and for who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Her one true love ever.
Mm-hmm.
She meets a doctor. And that's what she wants to marry for. The money, the status, all of those things. So she cheats on her true love with the doctor. And she ends up getting the clap.
A little clap.
A little curable little, disease or whatever.
That sucks, though.
And Joan accidentally reveals to Tony's ex that she cheated. And Tony finds out while they're on vacation, and she slaps the shit out of Joan. Physically slapped Joan because Joan felt so much guilt that she revealed that truth about Tony to her ex at the time that she just, this is what happened. And Tony smacks the shit out of Joan.
That might have been irreversible for me.
Okay, if that part's not so irreversible, she then flies back to America because they're like in Jamaica or something. And she flies back and she tries to sleep with Joan's boyfriend. So if the slap isn't reversible, like is her going home and then trying to sleep with her man, is that something we can fix? I don't think so. At that point, it's like over. But let me tell you something.
There's more.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember watching when they made up about that live new episode of Girlfriends.
Wow.
At my little age, they go to the altar as Donnie McClurkin.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite. That's one of my favorite episodes.
Donnie
McClurkin.
This
is actually solid content. Donnie, your last name McClurkin?
Look, I'm like, hold on. Am I putting an extra L in his name? I can't tell. But I remember watching that scene. Donnie McClurkin is singing that song. And Joan and Tony meet at the altar. And they have this moment where they just break down and they cry. And it's this moment that didn't need words. It didn't need, they just make up in that moment. And it is so beautiful. They are on their knees sobbing.
We fall down, but we get up. Yes, we do. For a savior,
just a sinner who fell down. Listen, get back up again. Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Y'all, I'm like 11, 12 years old. Like, yes.
Yeah, especially like if that song at all was a staple in your household too, it brought it back home. Because the thing about gospel music is you always feel like it's very specific to you and your family, and it really isn't. It was just one of those things where you hear it someplace, you're like, oh, so y'all like this too? I didn't realize.
Dude, I hadn't been through nothing in life yet, and I'm sitting at my TV screen sobbing. That's
funny. That is funny.
So something that you feel like, okay, we can't really fix this. It could have very much been the end of Tony and Joan.
Yeah.
It continues on a crazy, crazy roller coaster.
Yeah, levels.
And at the end, it ends. Tony ends up getting married to another doctor, somebody else who she truly loved, and they get divorced and they have a kid, and he ends up taking her to paternity court. He wants full custody, and it gets really nasty. And at this point, Tony needs character witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time.
About to get spicy in here. About to spice up your life, boy.
This is the time that Joan is so wrapped up in herself that she don't care what none of her friends are doing. And Joan doesn't show up for Tony. Tony and Todd end up settling, and Tony moves away.
And once again,
Mara Brock Akil.
Kelsey Grammer. Well, Kelsey Grammer, it's just really just his money. But you got it honest. You got it honest, because that is how that goes. That's real closure. We were just talking about how you don't get a lot of closure. Nobody ever talks about the friendships that were destined to fail eventually anyway.
Yeah, history wasn't going to save them. Not with all the baggage and the nastiness that went down between them.
That leaves room
for a visionary to bring life back into this show if they would like to do that at any point.
Listen, I agree. At this point, though, Maya is on the up and up. Maya is a successful author. She wrote 2 books by this time, and the set has changed to her home. I love that. Joan goes off to New Orleans to rebuild homes from the hurricane, and she comes home. Maya's having one of her weekly fish fries, and after her falling out with Tony, she comes back to hopefully make amends. She won't be vocal about that, but that's what she was hoping. Joan was hoping that after she came back from New Orleans, that she would come home to her friends with open arms. Forgive me, everybody, including Tony. Tony the most, please forgive me. And Tony was gone.
Gone.
They had to tell her, girl, she moved to New York to be close to Todd for their kid.
How destined was it that Jill Marie Jones had technically left her her show anyway?
That was my next point.
And what a beautiful segue for Todd to have already left. I mean, I don't know if they knew for sure.
We don't know really the process behind it, but it worked out to where the point where Tony decided not to re-sign her contract.
My hypotheticals tell me that they knew, they saw the writings on the wall for her wanting to not return her contract. Yeah. And that's why they were like, let's go ahead and write Todd away. And then we'll match this up if for some reason she doesn't return.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember there being a little bit of speculation behind that, though? I remember when Tony left Girlfriends and everybody was like, oh, Tony wanted more money and the girls didn't back her and all of these things. But when they tell the story, it's essentially that Tony just wanted to move on to a different lane.
That's goodly. That's duly noted, because I'll be honest with you, my mother, I had a conversation with her semi-recently about Jill Marie Jones, and she lit her up based on something. I don't know what it's based on, but she lit her up. I remember that.
Though, I feel like we run with narratives now, but I think we did way more back in the day when the internet was not so accessible and we weren't.
No, I always joke about how rumors used to just be rumors.
Before Twitter. Know. You don't know where they came
from. Remember Sierra had a dick?
She
just had a dick.
Where did rumors come from before Twitter? I don't know, but we all had narratives that traveled across the sea.
Two things.
And we all just ran with it.
Two things other than that Jill Marie Jones thing. I do remember hearing that also.
Yes.
But Carl Winslow and James Avery together.
Being together. Where do we get this shit,
Jenny? I don't know.
Were we reading, was this from, where did it come from?
I don't know where it came from. Sierra has a penis. Don't know where it came from.
Where?
You know what's funny? Kids told me that she said it on Oprah, and I could never find the episode.
No, that's the thing. It was so much harder back then to fact check. Like,
the best thing about that is her answer to that was promise. And I was like, well, maybe she does. I don't know. Can't see it right now, though.
The saddest part about all of this is that now we do have access to the internet where we can, like, actually fact check, and we still don't. And that pisses me off. The internet, Google, pull up all the clips, whatever. You can easily see if something you are resharing on Facebook is fake. And 9 times out of 10, if it's outrageous, it kind of is.
Cut me off after I say this so we don't go on too long with this, but I do want to tell you that here's the thing. Y'all are teaching people your own misinformation about their misinformation. God. The main reason why I'm not on Twitter right now is because I'm really getting sick of people being loud and wrong and being one-upped by a louder and wronger person.
God damn it.
It's the worst.
All right. Still driving into that whole dynamic is because Tony left.
Yeah.
They essentially made Monica a main girl.
A little bit more TV magic was used right there.
Monica was most hated by the girls. They couldn't stand her. They made Monica a villain. And once Tony left, they made her more lovable so that she could, like, bring the balance back. Like, let's bring something fresh to the girls. Right. And it worked out.
It came together in a lot of ways.
What do you think about that dynamic?
I want to say this is the closest to TV magic that we get by writing Monica in as a more of a main integral character in that last season or two. But it does work out in the favor that there was a void to be filled for Joan because Tony was gone. Mm-hmm. So that helps her case in a lot of ways. And these women really don't like Monica because of how driven she is for William's sake, as if for some reason they all got it right in their dating lives in general. So, right. I mean, they were kind of throwing stones in the glass house when it comes down to that, and that's probably something they should have been doing. But society will always tell you that you shouldn't be with somebody like that. But there's different strokes, different folks. They should have just let it ride.
I mean, in hindsight, I can respect Monica now, but she was villainized. But also, maybe it wasn't as bad as it seemed.
You know,
and that's essentially what it came down to, is that Monica was not as bad as she seemed. She was just somebody who knew what she wanted.
It also kind of paints William as a little bit more of a real nigga than we give him credit for. Because here's the thing. He might have been more externally sensitive about that stuff, but he didn't not get it together. You know what I'm saying? Like,
dude, I totally
Some people would have just like been like, fuck you, bitch, I'm leaving. And then it walked out and that'd have been the end of it. And he was just like,
he couldn't. Do you remember the episode where he wanted to and he couldn't? Yeah. And like his devil, what essentially in the 90s was the devil, devil angel, on his shoulder heads. Was like,
bring conscious heads back.
Hey, do it, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which reminds, he got left at the altar in like season 2. You remember that? He had the first girlfriend, Yvonne, who was the police officer, and she left him at the altar.
I ain't got back up there yet. I started at season 3, so I haven't really matched up. I didn't want to tell the world that. But hell yeah, that was exactly the point.
That's just a little tidbit.
Yeah, a little tidbit.
Lastly, Lynn, I've said this before, but I think Lynn had like the most all over the place storyline towards the end.
This is a hill
for
Jazz.
They just literally didn't know what to do with her.
Because in all honesty, I heard Jazz talk about this before we had this show planned. This is a hill for her. And I think she's right. I don't think she's wrong. It seemed as if she was supposed to be some level of additive and there wasn't really something that they landed on with her. But by the time that they did, the show was in limbo.
Yeah. So they had Lynn, her main role became musician. Uh-huh. And she literally hit every level of musician in 2 seasons that you can hit. She was doing after-hour performances where you got to sign up for open mic night.
Choir.
She was doing karaoke. She joined a choir where she was dating the priest or the pastor. Kadeem Hardison shows up. She was helping Big Boy on his album, like with vocals and writing.
How old is Kadeem Hardison supposed to be?
I don't know. She was in some kind of dark-ass band for a minute.
She fell in love with this dark-ass nigga.
Yes. The music was trash.
Yo, so that's the thing. Now, the biggest issue here is that she would have never been signed in real life.
Yeah, and then she, season 8, I think, the final season, she's opening a festival. She's signed to a record label. I mean, she literally hit every level of musician in such a short time.
So here's the leap of faith that the writers took here. The leap of faith is that since Lynn is not technically a black girl, like for all intents and purposes, she was into some alternative things and she made some alternative music. They decided to roll with it, which I think is a good idea for, like, you know, opening up our minds a little bit. Because I think most BET writers would have been like, it's got to be R&B. That's got to be. There's really no way around it. It could have never been anything else. So I kind of fuck with the fact that they allowed that to be something that they were portraying because it wasn't black music per se.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But one very great thing she did was that documentary with HIV AIDS. Yeah. And Kimberly Elise's episode was one of my favorite episode. It's like you cannot question how life goes. The episode is essentially about how Joan was holding a grudge against Kimberly Elise's character. Because Joan swears she stole her man, which she did, but the plot twist was that man gave her AIDS. That could have been Joan. Joan was huffing and puffing for the whole episode and finds out that she's been mad at somebody who's been living with AIDS. And it's just like,
I mean, and most importantly, there's a scene where she's using a knife and she cuts herself and she bleeds, and it makes everybody so freaked out. And I mean, I feel like I've been using this phrase far too much, but got it honest, because I mean, you know, to some level, I think that's kind of exactly where a lot of people's headspace would have been in that situation.
That was informative.
Yeah,
like very. We know it's scary, and Joan has to make this big decision about what to do with the bloody knife, and it was a moment.
Yeah,
I do have a question for you.
For me?
Yes. Oh, okay. I don't know how in depth you can get into it, but who do you think was the best match for Joan? She Davis. Had so many boyfriends.
Davis.
You like Davis for her?
I'm out of all the guys, and Davis was not a legitimate one, to be honest with you.
He never got a fair chance. They never got a fair chance at it.
Davis was it.
But maybe that could have blossomed into something good.
They had like a really good chemistry that like was very natural and like unsuspecting.
You know what? I agree. Yeah. I never thought about that possibility fully. But I think you're onto something. And
literally watching it in order would make you, I mean, watching it out of order like I did, because I had to watch from season 3 on and then back up. It's like, okay, yeah, all these niggas wasn't going to work out because Davis was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, you might be right.
It's a fumble bag.
But I did like Sean for her, and you know, it was too early on for them to like say, "Hey, now Joan's in a long-term relationship," because they wanted to explore dating in your 30s. She couldn't settle down in season 2 and be done. So I think essentially Sean was just something that just had to end. They had to make it a little bit messy so that it didn't continue to carry on.
Yeah.
But they could have been a good, I think they had good chemistry too.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the fact that he was dealing with something and she was like helping him through it. And it was really pure. And like they were really going through this together and he was on a good track. Yeah, pretty much everybody else, they could kick rocks. I think between, like you said, Davis and Sean, I think they were great. But everybody that came out, her and William, like I'm... It's like you wanted that to kind of happen, but it was. I'm glad they made it as awkward as it would have been in real life. Like,
yeah,
because they just
that was a dub. I mean, and not necessarily because of their friendship so much as, you know, they weren't friends because of what they had in common to begin with.
One last thing I would like to note is that this did spin off into The Game.
And The Game is a phenomenal sitcom for 3 seasons.
For 3 seasons. It was phenomenal.
And it's an okay sitcom after that.
It's an okay. It's not as bad as we thought it was when they went to BET. That first, it didn't get terrible until, never mind, I'm not going to even mention that because it's a soft spot for us right now in the culture. But.
Lauren London.
Yeah, and, that's when it kind of went.
Ellis.
Yeah, that's yeah, when it that kind of went whack. Downhill. But the story is that Melanie Barnett is Joan Clayton's cousin. Mm-hmm. So you got to see that play out in one special episode on Girlfriends. And then by the time that they get to the actual show, it turns out I'm glad they made all the changes they made and it became a hit. I'm rewatching it right now.
I rewatched it this summer, and Merwin, I'm telling you, like Pooch Hall and Tia together were, it was gold.
I love it.
But I mean, it didn't make any sense how good it was. And Jose Sanchez was phenomenal as Malik, just phenomenal. I honestly want to say on record that Jose Sanchez is the best actor in that show.
Yeah. Even, what's her Kobe. Name? Brittany. Colby. Brittany. Colby was amazing with Brittany.
Hilarious.
Like, they had a funny ass dynamic.
You
like,
know, he forgot Derwin's son's name a lot. They did a Jabari thing at the end of the game.
Jabari! We didn't even mention Jabari. And Tony flubbed Jabari's name like 172 times. How many episodes they got?
172.
Tony fucked his name up every time. And it was hilarious. And I'm glad somebody mashed it up on Twitter.
I just love Jabari. We all love Jimbari. This heifer here, she's got a heart of stone. Poor Jeep Cherokee.
His name is Jabari.
Oh, like you care.
Jamal is a very wise young man.
Tony, his name is Jabari.
But he looks like a Jamal.
Jabari likes to take walks. Oh, Jabari likes snacks.
And most of all, he likes to be called by his real name, Jumanji.
Oh, gold.
We love to see that. I don't know why that gag is funny, but it's funny.
Mara Brock Akil. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She has given us quality television. So we're going to have to put some respect on her name.
She knows Black TV.
In the future, because she is amazing. And her husband, which I'm flubbing on his name right now, but it'll come to me eventually. But he's also the reason why we don't have Love Is anymore.
Indubitably. I'm with it.
Yeah, so we're going to take this time real quickly, and we're kind of over time, but to shout out Tracy Ellis Ross.
It's only right.
It's like everybody's friend. You feel like you know her.
I feel so close to her. I don't know if she's my friend, my aunt, my sister, my mom. She just feels like all of them wrapped into one.
You know what I like from her? Do you remember Chappelle whenever they would talk to Charlie Murphy and Charlie Murphy would tell stories mm-hmm. about, you know, living with Eddie? Tracy Ellis Ross to me would have a good bunch of sketches about her life and things that have gone on. She also, between her being Diana Ross's daughter,
just
her being famous and her being Kanye West's next door neighbor for a few years, and I just want to know what
Tracy
goes on.
Tracy has stories.
What goes
we
on?
We may never hear. Yeah. She has lived. It's like we can see her fun videos on Instagram, mm-hmm. but the shit she's actually seen, lived, and experienced, we don't know that much about her personal life, and we're still so very close and intrigued by her. She is just magnetic in every way.
I'm mostly proud that somewhere along the way, I think I was a little disconnected whenever she was doing those rap videos where she was like, you know, it seemed a little old people-ish for me whenever she was trying to, like, pronounce the lyrics to the rap songs on Instagram.
Oh,
for a few
that
years.
Was the time.
I did not love that. I did not. That's probably one of the only times I've been like, I don't love this. But outside of that, she is the definition of charisma in a lot of ways, because she's not legitimately a comic. She doesn't do comedy, like,
she's just,
per se.
She just has this funny thing about
her. Good for comedy. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, we love Tracy.
We do. She has done some things, like, I'm sure she's done a lot of pilots that didn't stick, and I'm glad she got Black-ish. Like, Black-ish is huge. Like, who gets to be on a long-running family or sitcom in general twice? She's got to have two successful shows on primetime television, and I think that says a lot, because a lot of people do not have that under their belt.
Well, I mean, you're right about that.
5+ seasons? You don't get that twice.
Well, I mean, shout out to Kenya Barris. You know, like, he's been doing some things. He worked his way up to this, and he called the right people whenever he got in, because he did the right thing by not hiring any outward comics. That show's subtlety is the reason why it's so good. Because Anthony Anderson does not do stand up. Tracy Ellis Ross that's a family sitcom with people who are funny who do not do stand up. Yes. So nobody's hogging
the chemistry
it, you know?
Is there too.
Yeah, nobody's hogging the set. So we love to see it. And when Tracy is she's beautiful and very real looking. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, she looks like women I know.
Yes.
You know, and like that to me is always been a game changer, because I really am like paranoid about women who don't look like women that I know, because right. I don't understand how you exist. So,
oh, and let us not forget that she has her hair care line that launched this year.
Yeah, what is it called?
Why did I totally forget to ask for it for Christmas?
What is it called? I forgot.
Pattern.
Pattern curl. I seen some shit.
I want to say it's called pattern hair care, mm-hmm. which makes sense. Black women, we have different patterns of hair.
Curl patterns.
I can't believe I forgot to ask for some for Christmas.
Hey.
Tracy, send me some, please.
There's more Christmas left. There'll be another one next year. And here's the thing. Now, don't hold your breath, but I think there will be another one the year after that, too.
we're going to keep our hopes up. So there's always next Christmas, and your birthday's coming up.
It is. Shout out to Tracee Ellis Ross. We love her. We adore her. She just, I don't know why, she just feels so close to our hearts. And we don't know that much about her personally, but for some reason, I just cling to her like I've known her all my life.
She's definitely got a very familiar vibe for all of us. We think that we know her. That's the best. That's ironically the best trait a person can have.
Yes. Well, that's it for us. Voice cracking. Well, that's it for us, guys. Our time is up. Hope you enjoyed. Of course, this isn't the last you'll hear of Girlfriends. It will be brought up other times. But hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you guys enjoy your holiday. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
God bless.